God is good. Hallelujah. Oh, he's good. My goodness, my goodness. Yes, 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 yes. Ooh-wee. All right. As the teenagers are going up to the level up, I think that they're going up a level. Amen. I like that, Benny. I like that. Tag teaming. That's it, man. That's how you do it. Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. Glory to God. Get your Bibles. Get your Bibles. Get your Bibles. I got something to share with you. I believe that God wants to release. When you have your Bibles ready, locked and loaded, do you remember when I was talking to you about Elisha's final prophecy last week? When he was on his deathbed in 2 Kings chapter 13. Do you remember that? Well, I began to look at it and I believe that there's some more to extract from this particular word that I want to share with you. Last week it was know your potential and watch your patterns. And boy, as I began to go over some of the notes and some of the testimonies and talking to some of the folks since last week, we've been really looking after patterns. Patterns. So if you would, if you're at 2 Kings chapter 13, we're going to start at verse 14 and we'll go all the way through 19. And when you have it, say amen. 2 Kings 13, 14 through 19. I want to welcome those of you on the podcast to the House of Manna. Today's message is putting word into action. Putting word into action. Our scripture reading today will be out of 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 through 19. I begin reading at verse 14. It says, when Elisha was in his last illness, King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him, cried out, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel. Verse 15, Elisha told him, get a bow and some arrows. And the king did as he was told. Elisha told him, put your hand on the bow. And Elisha laid his own hands on the king's hands. Then he commanded, open that eastern window. And he opened it. Then he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram. For you will completely conquer the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. So the king picked them up and struck the ground three times. But the man of God was angry with him. You should have struck the ground five or six times, he exclaimed. Then you would have beaten Aram until he was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only three times. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you it is true yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank you, God, that as you begin to speak to us through your word, that it becomes truth into our life, that it is manifested, Father God, as we walk it out. As we put into action, oh God, we begin to see the revelatory word of your scriptures, Lord, that it is for our substance right now in this very age. I thank you, God, that it ministers to us yesterday, today, and forever. But I thank you that it's the very substance that we need for this season. So we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. I want to share with you a couple of things that I want to take out of this particular scripture. When I saw it last week, I began to understand that God is looking at patterns. How many of you know that patterns reveal to you some things about God? Well, we know that in scripture, in Genesis, he speaks to Noah and he gives him a pattern to build an ark. What if Noah would have decided to do a little bit different? It probably would have sank because he didn't know what he was building. There was no need for a big old boat like that. Some of the things that God has given you to do is bigger than you think. So don't interject something that God didn't tell you to do. Don't put your hand to something that God didn't tell you to put your hand to. There's patterns that he gives us. And then we see that if he gave the instructions to Noah, then he also in the wilderness gives a pattern and instruction to who? Moses. To do what? To build a tabernacle. And he gave specific instructions for the curtains, the poles, the grommets, everything. Very specific instructions. These are some patterns as God begins to reveal to us. If we follow the patterns, we begin to see that he will give us instructions that will bring his glory. Amen? Now, from Noah to the ark, from Moses to the tabernacle, to David, and to Solomon, there's always a pattern. When I begin to read this particular scripture, I begin to think about the pattern of this particular story. King Jehoash was an actual young king that was coming into the kingdom, and he wasn't afraid necessarily of everything. He was just afraid of what was coming at him. So he goes and seeks the seer. He goes and seeks the prophet Elisha, who was a seer. Sometimes in your life, in your walk with God, you're going to have to seek after a seer for something that you can't see. I'm not talking to you about going and looking at no crystal ball or going into and having these cards read that are foolish. And I don't know about you, but I came from an era and a time in my life where cards were being read left and right. And if you don't know what kind of cards I'm talking about those tarot cards. And those cards would begin to reveal something concerning your future that the spirits would bring to pass so that it would lead you astray from God. But a seer sees into the future and brings to you clarity concerning what you must do. You see, when he spoke to the king, he told him to do very specific things, did he not? If you see here, he says to him in verse 15, get a bow and some arrows. Now, Elisha had a pattern himself. Elisha was known as the prophet of actions. Actions. So he says, get a bow and some arrows. So he's telling him, you've got to do something. How many times has the word of God told you to do something? We have a responsibility to do it. But this prophet had a way of doing things. Elisha was known for his 32 miracles of action. 32 miracles of action. Just one of them with the widow of the pot of oil. I said it earlier. The widower had a debt because the prophet left them in debt. And so the prophet Elisha says, well, go get some pots for the oil that you already have. You see the action? Obedience. Go get. So they had to go get. What if she would have only gotten 3 pots? Then that's all the oil she would have gotten. Some of these things that the word is going to challenge you is to see, will you be obedient to go beyond? Or is your faith limited to keep you at a certain pace, at a certain distance, or a certain point of obedience? He wants to take you beyond what you actually feel, what you actually know. He wants to take you to something that you do not know. He says to her, go get the pot of oil. The next one was a Shunammite woman. The prophet would go through and then would eat some bread there at the house. So what did she do? She built a room for him. She built a room for him. She didn't ask for anything, but she put into action what she believed. I perceive this to be a man of God, and she built a house for him, a room for him, and put in it a bed and a table and a lamp, and the prophet would stay there when he would come through, him and his servant Gehazi. And then the prophet says, what is she in need of? And the servant says, well, she has no son. So he speaks to her. As she is outside the door, he speaks to her, and as she's standing in the doorway, he says that you will have a son by this time next year. So the son comes, is born, begins to grow, and then dies in her arms. The woman, the mother, many mothers in here would do this very same thing. Go back to the place that it was spoken to you and put your child in the very bed. In the very bed where the prophet lay. shut the door behind her and seek after the prophet. Now, this is what the prophet tells Gehazi, and I'm paraphrasing this. He says, go by in no way stop on the way on your journey. Go and take my staff and put it on the boy. Then the next thing he says is, and revive him back to life. Well, the servant gets back to the room, puts the staff on the boy, but didn't revive him back to life. You see, there's some things that God is going to have you do, but you have to follow it all the way through. So he goes back with the woman. Now Elisha goes into that very room, puts the staff on him, and revives the boy back to life. Action. Look to your neighbor and say, action. It takes action to receive what God has for you. Action. Now, how many of you know the story about the pot that was poisoned? Because the young prophets were gathering the gourds and putting in it. They were making a stew. But what they put inside the pot was poisonous. What did they put back? What did Elisha do? What did the prophet do? He put some meal in the pot. And they were able to eat. And he tells them, go eat some more. How many of you would have went back to eat more? Faith requires you to do something, even in the face of fear. See, they had already eaten. And it was already poisonous. So the poison was already ingested. What the prophet did was put some meal. What the meal actually is the finer part of pulverized grain into the actual pot. For some of us that make stew and you know how to make stew or carne guisada, you add a little bit of flour to the pot and it makes it thicker. Well, I have a tendency to look at things a little bit different. When you eat something that is not good and you feel that it wasn't good, you normally don't go back to that restaurant to eat again. Because what they served you the first time wasn't good and you didn't want it. Even though that everything was right, but something just was missing. If you don't put that flour in that carne guisada pot, it's not going to thicken. You're going to have a watery carne guisada. Some of y'all are like, what? Stew meat. Okay, stew meat. Pot of stew. But it was poisoned. Then he says, after he puts that fine flour in there, he says, now eat some more. You had a responsibility at that time to trust the prophet that he wasn't crazy. How many of you would have stuck your spoon back in there? Truth be told, none of you would have. If you already knew, it was poisonous. But because they knew the history of this prophet, making people do some things they didn't want to do. There was a pattern established with this prophet. That he knew how to speak some things that went against your belief system. But it caused your faith system to be quickened to life. He said, I don't want, you know, I can imagine if Marty was there. Marty's eating all that poisonous stew. This is, there's something wrong with it, but I'm hungry. Stop eating. No, it's good. It's poison. What? What you talking about? I didn't taste no poison. How many times have you been going after some things in your life that taste so good that you didn't realize poison was also injected in it? Y'all didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. We follow after all kinds of signs and wonders, but what if the devil himself was doing all kinds of signs and wonders, and you follow after, and you keep on eating after, you keep on following all these signs, but your heart's not even following after Christ. That's why you got to discern. Now, Marty being in that story around that campfire, because they probably had a campfire, you know, they didn't have those kind of things that we have today called electric stoves or whatever. They were around a campfire. These young prophets were hungry, like Marty would be, very hungry. Well, could you have any tortillas to go with that? Some hot sauce. We can make it better if you put some hot sauce in it. So then puts a little bit of flour, and then Marty really perked up at that moment and said, ooh. I perceive you to be a man of God. Eat more? Sure. You're a man of God for real. I'm going to eat some more of this stuff. None of them died. None of them got sick. But your faith will make you do some things that you normally wouldn't do. The prophet was a God of action. A prophet of action. He heard God and he spoke what God said. Now, there was another time, another instance where there was a man who was called Naaman. Remember Naaman? Full of leprosy. Full of leprosy, and he needed to get healed. And is there a prophet in the land? The prophet said, I ain't even going to see this man. Just tell him to dip 7 times in the Jordan. Action. Action. For all those Christians, I didn't hear because y'all are very active. Y'all do. But for all the hearers only, maybe they're on the podcast, maybe they're watching by way of video, they're hearers only. You got to do. You got to do. You just can't hear the word, I'm waiting on the Lord. You're going to wait a long time if you don't put some things into action. All right, hello? Oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, he don't passed you by long ago. See, there's windows of opportunity that we must take advantage of that opportunity. Because if you don't take advantage of that opportunity, it's going to be gone. Naaman dipped 7 times and was healed. Did the prophet ever go see him? No. He spoke and it was. We have to understand that this pattern of this prophet was known. Was known. So that when the king went to go visit the prophet in his deathbed, he says, I know he's about to tell me to do something. I just don't know what it's going to be. I just don't understand how he's going to get me to see something that I can't see. But even though he's a seer, what he's about to tell me, I may be a little uncomfortable with it. I may not have a true understanding of what he's going to ask me to do because he's on his sick bed and I know he's about to die. But what he tells me to do, I just got to do. How many of you have that determination? Just do what God says to do. Even when it comes from someone that you didn't want to hear the word from. You're going to miss that. Even if it comes from a source that you didn't want to hear truth. Even if you don't want to hear someone telling you got to do this because the Lord said. And then you look back at the individual's life and then you start judging the life of the individual that gave you the word. And then you don't want to receive from that individual because religion says don't listen to this individual because they're a little off. Yeah, man or woman can be off, but God is never off. You have to discern a word from the Lord. And when he says, go dip 7 times in the muddy Jordan, go dip 7 times. Do it gladly, smiling the whole way through. Dip yourself in that muddy little creek over there. Get down deep where the mud starts coming through your toes. And it just feels like something's moving underneath your toes. It's like, oh, there's something down there. But there's something that says, I got to go deeper in this thing. I can't see the bottom where I'm going. I just got to dig in deeper. I just got to trust him at his word. No matter what it feels like or what it looks like. And I'm sure it wasn't the purified water. It was the dirty water. It was something that said, you got to get into the muddy waters of the Jordan. You got to get into a transitional phase. Even when it's stinking. Even when you can't see. Even when it don't feel right. It don't feel good. Even when he takes you out of your place of comfort. He says, get up in that thing that you don't want to get into. I'm going to make you get lower than you've ever been. I'm going to make you come up off your high horse so that you can get into a thing that you didn't want to do. Shoot, I know I'm preaching good. Get my helper over here. Angel was standing to my right and I saw him. I said, hey, man. If you don't tell me to get into a muddy river, shoo. Let's go. See, you want your breakthrough? You want your breakthrough? He's going to tell you to do something you don't want to do. He's going to tell you to go someplace you don't want to go. He's going to tell you, get yourself into that little hotel room over there and start having church. Get yourself over there and start praying for people that don't want to even know the things of the Spirit of God. They only want to do what they learned coming up in church. But when the Spirit of the living God moves in on that, the Spirit of the living God begins to move, it brings life to dead things. I believe that the man, the king that came to the prophet, it was bringing that prophet life to speak something before he died that would be an everlasting legacy. Because it says right after he spoke this to the king that Elisha slept, my God. But that wasn't the end, my God, of the patterns of the prophetic. The pattern says you got to do some things that don't make no sense to you. You got to do some things that make you get stretched at times. You got to do some things that will make you get down and dirty. That will make people look at you a little strange and funny. Why are you going over there? Why are you in that place? Why are you in that gym? They always screaming. They always shouting. Their music too loud. This God up in here going to make me do some things to lose my natural mind. If I had a weave, I'd shake it off. Because I ain't going to stay the same. In this natural state, I'm nothing. But in the spiritual realm, I am walking with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's still on the throne today. Come on, somebody. You better hear the Spirit of God say, I'm going to make you act a little strange. You may look like a Jehu when you're driving. You may be driving and you may be saying, Lord, wherever I'm going, I'm going to get what you got for me. And if someone is standing in my way, I'm going to get to where I need to be. I'm getting to my destiny. Are you hearing this? Passion. Passion, my God. Passion recreates, it procreates. The king knew there was a pattern with that prophet. The pattern, he says, it's going to be different. I don't know if I can follow this. But history proves that this prophet was successful in battle. This prophet knew how to say some things that would bring victory to the people of God. There was a prophet in the land that would cause the people to do something that nobody else would tell them to do. Cut out about say, you better hear this right now. You got to go and do something you don't want to do. You got to get somewhere you don't want to be. You got to let go what you don't want to let go. Woo! My God. Maybe he's telling you to put your Isaac up on that altar and you don't want to. But if you put that Isaac on the altar, on the other side of that thicket, there was a ram cut in the bush. Said, I got your provision for you. You just have to learn which mountain to climb. What if he would have went to the other mountain? Bye-bye, Isaac. Where the goat the whole time would have been caught up for nothing. Why are you going to be caught up in something for nothing? God is going to put you in there because he knows you're coming. What I tell you last week, you got to state your intention. He said, open up the window. He didn't say, open up all your windows. Because, you know, most of, oh, no, but I'm going to let bugs in. I'm going to let the AC out. They ain't had no AC. Let the bugs in. Let the locusts in. Good, I'm having dinner tonight. Open up the east window. So I'm going, not only is the prophet going to tell you what to do, he's going to tell you where to go. He says, put that bow in that arrow. Now that you're ready to shoot, open the window now. Then the prophet's hand right on top of his. I love that. The hand of God is always working in obedience with you. The moment that you put things into action, God's hand is moving in your action. Hey, what are you saying? Woo! He says, open the east window. And then he says this, shoot. Two actions that he did. Did he shoot? Oh, he shot. He says, grab the other arrows. He grabbed the other arrows. He followed the action. He's going to strike the ground. He struck the ground. He did everything that the prophet said to do. But what didn't the prophet say? He did not tell him to stop. He did not tell him to stop shooting.
We get so limited and scared to go beyond where our faith will take us, because our faith will only illuminate the next step. But if you keep taking more than the one step, you get the other step. You keep moving. You don't stop if he don't tell you to stop. You keep on moving if he tells you to move. You keep doing what he tells you to do. If it makes no sense, you do it anyhow. How am I going to do it here? And how am I going to do it there? You do it anyhow. Because I've got a way for you. I've got resources for you. I'm going to speak some things that you didn't know how to do it, but I'm going to speak it into existence. Are you going to stop midstream? Or are you going to go all the way? You're afraid because there's too much stuff already talking around you. I see lips bumping all around you. I see all this kind of mess talking about this, talking about that. Baby, you who God said you are. You are what God is telling you to do. You're going to become the very woman of God that he's called you to be. But you got to get into that place where he says you got to get to a certain place. To see the fulfillment of what God has spoken to you in your dreams. Truth be told, it wasn't two, it was three. We can't stop. Gayla, we can't stop. We can't stop. Man, we just got to keep going. I believe that king was a young king. A young king. That he had to look to a generation that had wisdom. My God. Yeah, people say, we need a new generation. Hold up now. You need the young generation and the old generation. The young generation says, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, but I need wisdom to tell me how to do it, when to do it. Let me hear a thing before I jump into a thing. Let me understand what you're telling me, because you've been somewhere before. I got to follow after you to know that it's you. You got to couple the generation, and he will fill the gap by his spirit. This young king. He was doing everything up until that point. He stopped. That's why the prophet got mad. He says, I'm telling you to do certain things, but you have to learn to look at my patterns and look at my history. Look at what I'm about. You knew I was a seer of victory to come. You knew that when I spoke something to shoot the first arrow, you would have victory in that battle. But there's other battles that are coming your way because you're a young king. But you only wanted to go to three battles. He says, if you would have shot not only three times, but maybe six times, you would have dealt with the man issue in your life. You would have dealt with the humanistic issue that keeps you fighting some things that you don't even know what you're fighting. Six is the number of man. What he was trying to get him to do, Sylvia, is to realize everything that you've been fighting is based on somebody else's victory. Somebody else's experience. But if you would have got to six, you would have understood that you were now working on your victories. You were going to start working on your character and your ways. But you stopped midstream. Oh, three is the number of God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'll stop right there. It sounds so religious, but I believe that to be the Spirit of God. He says, you're going to miss the thing I'm trying to get through you. Because it wasn't about you just getting victory. It was about bringing the kingdom into a place of victory. Perpetual victory to utterly destroy this particular enemy. The prophet was on his deathbed. Watch what it says. He got angry and he told him. After he told him, slept. The prophet died. But watch this. Why is it that the prophet that was dead, after doing all of these miracles, they don't give him a farewell? They don't give him a send-off. They don't even thank him for the one victory that the Lord gave. Because a prophet is not celebrated when it comes against your will. When it comes against your character and it comes against the things that you're being challenged with, he's not celebrated. And when he ain't celebrated, I'll just sleep.
I'm through with this region. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Because if you read just on the next verse, there was a band of raiders that were coming in a funeral procession. They already had the prophet in his tomb. Watch this. Action, action, action. Look at the patterns. They were scared during this funeral procession. Doesn't even name the individual. So what did they do? They rolled the stone away from the prophet's tomb. Action produces life. It didn't say they put him in a coffin. No, it said that they tossed him. He dead anyhow. Threw that dead boy, dead man, into that grave. Just barely touched. Just barely touched. Just barely got next to. And then the very power of being brought to life what was once dead. Brought to life what was dead. Brought to life what was dead. That it sprung up. It says that it sprung up. The Bible says that the body sprung up. There's some things that are getting ready to spring up in your life because the very thing out of action in the word is about to spring forth, the very thing that God has spoken. Nothing is dead or over until God says so. Even the prophet wasn't done with his miracles. Even the very body of the prophet said, I still got life forevermore. Woo! Point number two. I'm just playing. Feel like a little drunk. My. If we can just listen and watch the patterns that God is telling you. Have you ever felt like, it seems like it's just getting bad. It's getting worse. It seems like every time I feel God getting ready to do something, it feels like I'm going down. I feel like every time I'm about ready to go into the nations, something comes that makes you take notice in your natural life. He says, you still missed it. The king, the young king, went to the seer to see what he couldn't see. He couldn't see his victory. So the prophet told him, wait a minute. Open up the east window. Not these other windows that you've been facing. Not all these other windows that you've been out there looking through. Not all these other battles you've been trying to win. Not all these other battles that you've been fighting that weren't from God to begin with. That's why you're so tired and busted and disgusted, because you're fighting the wrong battles. The enemy knows how to get you so tired and get you so worn out that you fight all these other little imps and little demons over here. But he says the real one is in your new beginning, your new day. When you open up a new window that you ain't never been through before, because the seer sees your victory, you need to start shouting before you even get victory. You need to just start shooting and saying, Lord, at your word. What was the prophet teaching this young king? How to go to war. Prophet telling him, you got all these other windows that you're facing addiction, facing fears, facing pornography, facing all kinds of waywardness, facing this, you're facing that. Turn from facing that and face God. Put your heart in your eyes, inclined to the very spirit of God, and watch what he'll bring to you. He was teaching them. Not every battle is yours. He says, you come to the seer so that he can see which one to fight. which one to fight. Listen, I'm just going to say this right here, and I'm through. I'm through. There's a snake in Africa called the Black Mamba. Very poisonous, very swift. Has so much poison within it. The toxins will kill so fast. But it holds enough toxin to kill others in the room. This is what that mamba does. Can't see, but can sense. Can sense. What the Black Mamba does, puts its tongue in the atmosphere to sense the amount of prey and to size up the prey to know how much poison to release. But it can't see. That's a snake. So the king did not know. He couldn't size up. He couldn't see what the enemy was. So he goes to the seer, where the seer can begin to see what cannot be seen. And he sizes up the enemy to know how many arrows are needed to utterly destroy it. Are you hearing this? Because there's some things that the Bible says to be wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. You got to be so wise to see your enemy at a distance so that you can size him up and know just how much effort to put in that fight. Because if that's not the one you're supposed to be fighting, get to step into your next one. Because some people are going to oppose you, but they're not there against you. They're there to help you get to where you need to be. There's some people that want to speak against you, act like they're close to you, like Sanballat and Tobiah. But there's some of those secret haters that are going to get you to that place where you need to be. They may not like your way of doing things. They may not like the things that you're saying. They may not like the way how you're acting. But there's something that is driving you to your destiny. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the living God, some things are going to drive you there. Where you thought it was there to take you out, it's taking you in. Y'all. Come on, Josh. Let's just come to me. We're just going to close now. We're just going to close right now. We're just going to close. We forget it in there. We're done. See you. Elisha just said, he told that young man, you should have. Now that king has to live in the past. I should have. What would have? What if I could have? But now, a pattern is still being established in the kingdom of God. Don't ever stop on what you can't see. Don't ever stop midstream. You keep on, because God is a God of action, putting the word into action. Don't just hear the word, do the word. Don't just hear another good sermon, be the sermon. Don't just hear another great message coming forth, be that message that someone's going to read. Someone's going to look at your life and say, you are the one that says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you according to his will and purposes for you. You are that one. God is just asking you, will you put to use the word into action? We can't stop. There's more. There's so much more. Don't stop. He never told him to stop. That's what made him angry. When I first read this story, it has been preached lots of times. I was like, isn't it just like a prophet to get mad? But I know why he got mad. He did what he told him to do. But what isn't being told is implied. And if you know them by their patterns, you just do. How many of us want to just do? You want to just do? I don't know about you. I want to do the word. I want to walk with the word. I want to display the word. The kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. It's not just in word, but in power. Power. How many of you want that? Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. And I'll close with this. Those of you by way of the video, by way of the podcast, don't quit. And don't stop midstream. You continue the good fight, Annette. The good fight. Every hardship and every trial. You don't quit. You just keep on. You just keep on. If you've been battling something, you don't give up, you don't quit. You just keep on stepping. But if it seems like you're going down, Lord, take me even deeper. Take me even deeper until I'm fully submerged in your word. Until I'm fully submerged into that very thing that you're telling me to do. That's going to bring healing to me. Even though I don't believe in your method, and sometimes you do some things that make no sense to me. But nevertheless, at your word and at your command, I'm going to do what you say, how you say to do it. And as long as you tell me to do it, God, I'm looking for an expected end. Amen. Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for each and every individual that is represented here today. I thank you for the household, oh God, in which is interconnected to them through their lineage, Lord. I thank you that their children, their grandchildren, down to 1,000 generations, Lord, are blessed. Not only just blessed, God, but they're kept, they're protected. And Lord, they learn your patterns and your ways. I thank you for them, God. Because even the faith of the mustard seed, because faith now is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. But we're coming to the seer, Lord, to help us see what we cannot see, to help us achieve what we had not yet seen. So, Father, I thank you for them right now, and I bless them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. And I thank you, Lord, that you get them on that very path to walk, to move, and to have your very way in their life. I thank you for them, God. To every broken heart, every shattered dream, I speak into your heart and into your spirit. It's not over till he says it's over. A delay is not a no. A delay is a setup for his yes. Be ready, be expecting to receive. More is coming your way. There's fresh oil that is flowing in your direction. I praise God and I thank God for each and every one of you. You don't quit. You don't quit. You keep on. Because the more you keep on, the more he reveals himself to you. In every aspect of your life, he reveals more. That's the God that we serve. So I bless you. I release the holy angels and ministering spirits of God on your behalf. That he go forth and make a way on your behalf. Hallelujah. Give me a second. I just saw this. Mike and Patricia, stand up. I saw a truck, and I want to say it was yellow, but behind this yellow paint were like two men carrying boxes. You're getting ready to sign, and it's going to be the one you want. They're going to call you back. They're going to call you back. Something's fallen through. Are you still interested? Are you still interested? I see it happening for you very quickly, very quickly, very quickly. My God. Yes, Lord, I hear that. Not only is there room enough for you, but there's two extra rooms that you asked for. And they will be filled. here by the Spirit of the living God, that delay was not a no. It was a setup for God's greatest blessing in your life. He's found you faithful with the little. Watch and see. Prepare yourself, beloved. Because what you're entering into is yours. It's yours. Mike, your ministry is getting ready to launch like never before. In that very place, you will see more people come to you and asking you for prayer and deliverance. They won't understand what they're asking, but you'll see it. You'll discern it. Not only will you see it, but you will break every curse. Be prepared, man. Because it's coming swift, swift, swift into your life. I celebrate you from the crown of your head and the soles of your feet. I declare the goodness of God all over your life with the favor painted on you. The unmerited favor of God that will open up doors that no man can shut. And he's shutting some doors that no man can open. Favor is on your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a release. There is a release if you just trust the Spirit of God. Just receive. Just receive. Mama Lou, stand over here with Inez. Twelve months prepare. Because we're moving into our own. And not only that, our domain is being changed. Because as he moves his house, he builds our house. And what was released to you has not fallen by the wayside. You shall enjoy it. You shall live in it. And you shall see it be manifest. And I know you both know exactly what word that is. We know it to be true. And it is coming. As the three of you stand there together, I hear the Spirit of the living God says, I have released the angel of healing and I have stirred the waters for your behalf. Not only have I stirred the waters, but I have come to make you whole, says the Spirit of the living God. I've come from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet to make you whole, to make you transformed, and to make you into my very image, whole and perfect. And you will know that every spirit that has come against you, that has caused you to feel like you can't make it anymore, that you will be healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. I release healing into your life, says the Spirit of the living God. Lord, I thank you for the manifestation of your healing right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, but now faith is. Now faith is. I receive the healing now. I thank you for the bones to come stronger. I thank you for, my God, deformity to be made normal. I thank you for pain to be removed. And I thank you for the very root of it to be uprooted now in the name of Jesus.
I thank you for it now, Father. I receive it by the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Receive your healing. 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 Whatever you're in need of right now, receive your healing. There is dispensation now. I have released it now for you to receive. To receive your healing. Receive your healing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. Yes, Lord. Yes, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. Yes, Lord. James, there's a home that's already established. Every room, every facet that is necessary, even the kitchen, the showers, and every room. There's a classroom that's adjacent to it. That out of this, it looks like a garage. It looks like a garage that was converted. But out of that area is where you will do the school, where you will teach, you will release, you will empower and disciple. Some of these men will stay in the home and you will transition them out to be received in other places, says the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Eric, you're a man of God. I hear the Spirit of God saying thank you to you. Thank you for your faithfulness to Him. In everything that you have witnessed, that you have discerned, by the Spirit of the living God, prepare yourself, man. Because I see some boxes stacking up right next to you. And you can tell your wife, it's going to be in a new school district. It's going to be in a new place. There's some things getting ready to transpire in your life very quickly, very rapidly for you. This was just the beginning, I hear the Spirit of God saying, because you were faithful. More is coming to you. More is coming to you. John, stand up, John. Give me a minute, guys, come down. I looked over, and as I was ministering to Eric, I kept hearing Bahamas. But Barbados, for some reason, there's a cry. There is a cry for you. It's not going to be via internet. Matter of fact, a lot of that stuff that's been transpiring has also been the very thing that's been coming against you. But Barbados is crying for you. And you're about to experience something different. Different. The one, that, and I see this couple that has been just watching it. You kind of think that they're aloof. They're not. But they're the ones just been watching. God sent them as watchers. And they're going to write the check to get you to where you need to go.
Barbados is crying for you. And I don't know what that is. I don't know why I'm seeing this. I would want to say, okay, I'm going to Bahamas. Amen. Going on. No, that ain't it. I would say it to you in this wise. Your hands have been bound. Your feet have been bound. The belt has been placed around you to travel by the Spirit of the living God. You can go no other but there, because what I have for you is to transform a people that is going to release a revival greater than ever before. Not only would there be signs and wonders, but there'll be a shift in government, a shift also in the way of I want to say the army, but this is like military status. It's going to shift because there's someone that's going to be there that needed this. Oh, my God, it would be like that. Send the word to one of my servants, to one of my soldiers. And you send a word and they're healed. They said, whatever you need, we already have the security detail for you wherever you go. There is something getting ready to transpire for you. Don't worry about what it looks like around you right now, what everybody is saying, what everybody is doing. Don't worry about that. You don't fit mainstream to begin with. You're a misfit to begin with. And because you're a misfit, he's got a place for you to fit in someplace else. It don't matter what they're going to talk about. Don't matter how it's looked about. Don't matter how it smells. It don't matter how it smells. Matter of fact, there's been a lot of dung put all around you. A lot of dung's been flown your way, been thrown in your direction. God says it's all of that that is making you grow deeper in me, deeper in my word, deeper in the supernatural of God. But what I have for you is a people that is crying out, is there not a prophet in the land that will do what the word of God says to do? You won't know this, but in your meeting, and this isn't this meeting I'm talking about, this is in a meeting, I see you, and you're not even aware that in the parking lot, a woman brought their dead baby, and you didn't even know it, but the child came to life. See a young lady with a young husband, young, early 20s, mid-20s, around that. Then on their honeymoon, there was an accident, and the groom died, the husband died. But because they heard, her faith attached to, where this is coming from, but their faith attached to what you have spoken, and the man came back to life. I don't care if anybody's here, but I know what I sense. There's some things that look strange, that look funny, but that's how it's always been with you anyways. Things are always outside the box. There's going to be some pure, listen to me, pure manifestation of miracles that they'll look and say, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. Prepare your heart, man. You're getting ready to go into a time of shut-ins. You're going to be shut in. There's going to be some isolation. Those that used to be, I don't know what, they used to be caretakers for you. God's going to shut you in and shut you off. You'll know it by the Spirit. But when He does that, not only are the visions going to be so clear, and hear the Spirit of God, man. You're going to be puddle jumping from different islands to different islands. You're almost there, man. You're almost there.
Go in this shut-in. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. And you're going to know. You're going to know it's God. Let him do it. I caution you, sir. I caution you. Some of the ones that are around you can't carry no more. Some of the ones that are around you can't carry no more. But you will do this by his guiding. He's getting ready to drive you in. Drive you in. Hallelujah. There's two individuals, Nancy, that are coming to you. Two, not one, two. Your desire is to be with your husband. His desire is to see you rest. Two individuals that are coming, they're going to open up for you in two new locations. There will be three in total. I want you to be at peace, because if it's truly the Lord, you've already had contact with one of them. The second, you wouldn't really choose. But peace is going to come in and you'll make the choice. Trust the Spirit, not the eyes. Trust the Spirit, not your intellect. Trust the Spirit, not what you think. Trust the Spirit. Let the seer reveal to you what is unseen. There's an increase that is coming for you. And you're going to get some rest. You don't say much about it. You haven't spoken it. But your husband knows what you desire. He knows what you desire. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to say this to you, man. I'll say it to the both of you. Jaden's coming around.